You just think we just, you know, whatever happens, we just shit another player. All right, and everything's going to be perfect. All of our fans think that. You all think that. That's what you write about.
You don't want to be here. There's a specific reason. Not really. You know, I think we did a poor job recruiting. If guys are coming in and immediately walking out the door because it was something different than what they thought it would be. We lied to them during recruiting, or we sold them on a dream that wasn't true.
Yeah, you know, right now we have the atmosphere of a JC softball game. You know, I mean, that's what we are, a JC softball team. As long as, you know, it's not whether you win or lose. It's like the team that wins is the one that has the most fun. You know, that crap like that. You know, all this stuff that's contaminated America, where they give every kid a trophy and they don't keep score in Little League anymore.
As we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless football team that nobody in the SEC wants to play.
Now, that's also a second in the West, baby.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I don't like it. It's the only time we're ever getting excited about second. From now on, it's first, okay?
Winning the SEC probably is harder than winning the national championship. Do you know that?
So how about them fucking dogs?
Hey. Turn that damn jukebox off!
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.
Welcome in the latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter, and I'm joined as always by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man, we don't do a show for one day, and next thing you know, we got half the damn SEC taking a different job and moving all over, but doing good, buddy. How are you doing?
Yeah, man, we got all kinds of drama, man. I tell you, Mike, it's been hard because I really want to get on Twitter and I want to follow what's going on, but, you know, America's fighting with each other and, you know, Tennessee, most of my people I follow are Vol fans, you know, and it's just, they're fighting with each other. It's just like a big old family reunion, Mike. So you're going to have to help cipher through this because there is a lot of action going on in the SEC right now.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, man, I don't think it's any secret here, Shane, that on this show we try to, you know, there's so much negativity and there's so much, you know, you jump on social media and you'll see, you know, this guy sucks, that coach is terrible, this team will never compete for the SEC. So we like to talk up these teams, give hope as much as we can. And I feel a little bad. On the last episode, we ended on a downer note for Auburn with all these guys, all the receivers in particular, leaving the program. But, hey, so let's – well, I think I already gave it away, buddy, but you want to go around the league?
Let's do it, man. Auburn redeemed theirself this week.
Now let's go around the league.
My daughters said something about me wearing a visor and need to put on a hat because I'm getting bald. So I'm going to wear a hat from here on out.
I mean, if you look over the next 6 years, I think we played Miami 3 times, Florida State 6 times, South Florida 3 times, Mississippi State 1. So who's the SEC teams? You know, I mean, I think it's an injustice for the kids. We should mix those games up, and you should, you know, play more teams from the West.
Why don't you start calling around and see if you can get somebody else to play us, and we'll play them. We'll play anybody you can get to play us.
In Louisiana, hold on a second.
Hey, guys! Hey! I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you!
Yeah, so I teased it there. I gave it away, but we're going to start here in Auburn.
Get ready, Toomer's Corner. Auburn's coming to roll you. Final score, Auburn 48, Alabama 45.
Lots of news, but I want to start with potentially the best news here. Reference the receivers going pro. Well, they flipped it. These were both announced on Wednesday, but linebacker Zacoby McClain and safety Smoke Monday, two of the better players on that defense. Two guys that really stepped up last season. They both mm-hmm. could have went to the NFL. They announced they're coming back, Shane. And the rumor, again, this is all good news for Auburn, potentially. Derek Mason, former Vanderbilt head coach, is going to be the Auburn defensive coordinator. And that's not all, Shane. They have officially announced the hiring of offensive coordinator Mike Bobo. Stole him away from South Carolina after, you know, he called out all these guys for being committed to the Gamecocks. That he jumps ship to the SEC West. And that's not all. He's apparently bringing offensive line coach Will Friend, who last season obviously was at Tennessee. He was at South Carolina for 12 whole days, Shane. I hope he didn't buy any property down there in Columbia because he's headed to Auburn. And then last but not least, now this is the only one that is not finalized to my understanding, and this may fall through, but at this point, it sounds like Trevarius Robinson, the former South Carolina defensive coordinator, is going to join this staff as a defensive backs coach. And Florida was after him. They thought they were going to lock him up with, a co-defensive coordinator title. So I assume he'd probably be getting that here at Auburn too. But, man, if all these hires come through here, you know, we kind of picked fun of Brian Harsin a little bit. But every one of these looks like an outstanding hire to me. What about you?
Oh, without a doubt, man. This is the type of hires we were hoping that Coach Beamer would make there in South Carolina. Just a signature coordinator, maybe on the defensive side of the ball, and not saying that he isn't going to, but right now it looks like Auburn has just final. I mean, that's what you want to see if you're an Auburn fan, and now you just need to sit back. That's the thing. The fans got to sit back. Let, you know, we let the coach put together his team here. Let's just sit back and see what they look like. And I'm telling you, Coach Mason's a hell of a get because he was on the short list of several SEC programs.
Right, and here's another thing that stands out to me about all these guys, Shane. Obviously, Brian Harsin, kind of an unknown in a sense from just being in the SEC, recruiting in the SEC. That's kind of our biggest question with him. Not so much his coaching ability, but here he's got Mike Bobo, who served under two SEC staffs. Will Friend, who served at Tennessee and Georgia, another multi SEC, Trevarius Robinson, obviously just come off from South Carolina. He spent time at Florida. He's been at Auburn before. That 1 year, Muschamp was the defensive coordinator. So here he's got four potential guys that are just loaded with SEC experience, high-level coaching, high-level recruiting. And, man, I just can't say enough about these moves. And if they all go through, you know, this is a borderline an all-star staff to me.
Now, Mike, I know we're trying to stay positive, but we have to address what's going on in South Carolina, right?
Well, one thing before we jump down there, because I did have one quick clip. I just remembered I wanted to play this because if anybody missed it, this went viral here this week. And this is pretty old from what I understand. I think it's a year or two old. But this is Auburn's new coach, Brian Harsin, during the Boise State press conference when he was the head coach there. He was at, I don't even know the question he was asked, but his response is just outstanding. And I thought Auburn fans and just in general, all SEC fans needed to hear this one.
I see things on social media at times where it's the perfect setup and you can read somebody's comment and usually the first one is negative. That's just how people are, especially ones that are on, you know, the Twitiots and all those things like that. I mean, that's their voice. You used to have to actually be somebody to have an opinion, which meant you had to work your way into a position where your opinion actually mattered. You don't have to do that anymore. Any idiot can say whatever they want, and they usually do, and they're negative. And all I see, to me, I've gotten to a point now when I see things like that, I feel sorry that those people feel that way, that their lives don't have the purpose, the passion, and the excitement and the enjoyment that some of us do. And other people, when they want to make comments on certain things, I mean, it's pretty pathetic. That's the group you don't want to be a part of. Get a hell away from that and get over here with these other people that are positive and can see, you know, there's a brighter side to things. I'm not going to listen to opinions unless they matter. like I told you, man, I got, you know, a booster texts me and tells me something like that. People that I care about, that I interact with, and that are a part of this team and have invested and are around here and see these guys, man, I'm listening 100%. But you don't even come to the game. You don't sit in the stands. You're not a season ticket holder. You probably don't even watch the whole game because it's too late and you have an opinion. What does that matter? And the worst part is people actually listen to it. Why even pay attention to somebody that doesn't have the proper knowledge to have that true opinion of what's going on? That's what I believe. And I think, and the thing for me is I can, you know, to me, I can handle all that stuff because I understand it. I understand it better. For players, it might be something vulgar, you know, blank you, all this stuff. You suck. No, you don't, because you've worked your whole life since you were 6 years old to be a Division I athlete. And you're there, you made it. Through all these other things that could have stopped you from becoming that type of student athlete, and somebody actually says that to you, that's a joke. It's a freaking joke.
All right, Shane, so I know that's got nothing to do with Auburn outside of that's the guy they just hired, but we don't have much from this guy, so I just thought that, like I said, Auburn fans would really appreciate these comments and hopefully just SEC fans in general.
Yeah, I took it a little personal because I was the one sending those tweets, Mark. Just kidding, man. Just kidding. But, you know, he said some really good words there. And you know, because I see it as a fan. I've been known to bash certain quarterbacks that wear the number two or, you know, whatever. But I think it is important to take a step back and realize that these kids are giving their all, you know, and just because they're not up to your standard really doesn't matter, man. It doesn't mean they're not trying. So I really enjoyed these words. And it seems that everything I'm learning more and more about this coach as we go along. Seems like a really cool cat.
Mm-hmm. But all right, Shane, you teased it there. Look, we got to jump down next to Columbia, South Carolina. Because all of a sudden here, Shane, we thought we were getting close to having a damn coaching staff. And now it's basically in shambles here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not trying to pick apart Shane Beamer. He just got the job and all that. He did hire Justin Stepp. Let's give him credit for that. But now he's without an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and no strength and conditioning staff with Bobo and Friend leaving the program here. And from what I understand, Shane, he's even going around telling people in the building, hey, we got our strength guy, and it was the guy we referenced the other day that turned him down and stayed at Arkansas. So, I mean, that's kind of like rookie shit, you know, where you're telling people you've made this hire and yet you've not made it. You probably shouldn't be saying that till you got him signed and in the building, yeah. You know what I mean? But again, that's not the end-all be-all because, you know, I think there's plenty of South Carolina fans that not necessarily enamored with Coach Bobo. So I'm not saying this is, you know, the death of the program or anything, but, and then another issue, he apparently flew to Mississippi State. I believe this was on Wednesday and interviewed the defensive coordinator, Zach Arnett, and he didn't bring him back. So I don't know if he's going to make that hire. I mean, cause I don't know how Zach Arnett can be getting interviewed and then staying in Mississippi State a couple days and then decide to join to South Carolina. That just felt like a deal where, you know, Coach Beamer probably went and made the trip himself to seal the deal and he couldn't get it done, you know?
Yeah. You know, it just goes to show you where this program's at right now. And I always think about like metaphors, you know, like all these other programs, you know, everybody's excited about Ole Miss. Everybody's excited about Auburn's new hire and they're sitting there at the Applebee's and they're just drinking and having a good time. But then there's that bar, you know, everybody's got that bar in your county that you don't know if it's even really open, but you know, if you walk in, there's going to be like two or three people, they're all going to be smoking there, you know, that it's Tennessee and South Carolina are the only two in there right now. And they're just talking about the good old days. And that's what I think is going on because I hate that they're losing momentum this early. Usually when you see a new coach come in, there's just this fiery buzz, and it felt like Beamer had that going. And, you know, he's got Coach Fred coming out. We're keeping Mike Bobo. You know, there were some people that didn't like that idea. And now you're seeing fans, they're like, we didn't want him anyway. You know, it's just like, so there's so many things going on with South Carolina, but you hate to see that momentum die because nobody wants to go to a program that nobody wants to be at. And when you start missing on coach, like it kind of surprises me because it felt like Beamer had this job to begin with. You know, there was rumors that some people turned it down stuff, but I don't know if that's true or not. It almost felt like they went for Shane Beamer and got him. And I thought we'd have some assistants lined up, but we're having a little bit of trouble. So it's too early to panic, though, right, Mike? I mean, you know, I panic. I always panic. But it's too early, right? If you're Carolina fan to just say, oh, shit, you know, we bit off a little more we could chew here.
Well, you know who was panicking this time last year, Shane, and this is probably going to be the best example that I use forever, is Arkansas fans. Because they were going after guys like Lane Kiffin and Eli Drinkowitz, and they kept striking out. People were making fun of them, and then here they, you know, had to settle, if you want to call it that, for Sam Pittman. And he's been one of the best coaches in the SEC. I know it's just the 1 year, but, I mean, that's just one example right there. So, it's not about, you know, how much controversy and how all this coaching staff comes together. It's all about just getting the right guy. So how we judge this, it looks bad now, but that doesn't mean anything moving forward. But I do want to add one little piece of nugget from that Shane Beamer going out to Mississippi State to interview Zach Arnett. Of course, the receivers coach out there is Steve Spurrier Jr.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw this, Shane, but he tweeted out after that. I believe he tweeted this on Thursday morning, but he said, "It's always good to have Coach Beamer in town, as long as he leaves everything the way he found it." So he's got some of his dad in him there, to where he, you know, poking the fun at a rival in the SEC. But hey, last thing on South Carolina, Marshawn Lloyd, the running back, he tweeted out, "I'm with you, Coach Beamer." So, I mean, that's great news. That's what you want to see, a star player coming out in support of the new coach. And don't forget, man, like I was saying about Coach Bobo, I'm not trying to throw him under the bus or anything, because I do think he's a good – hell, I just, you know, praised Auburn for making that hire. But there was quite a few rumblings that he was not the most popular coach in South Carolina. And that may have been why we've seen some guys like a Ryan Helinski. Certainly Ryan Helinski, I don't think, was a very big fan of him, but there's probably others – who, once Coach Bobo was retained, they probably said, "Well, I'm done. You know, I've seen enough of that program. Now that Bobo's out, who knows? Maybe you get Helinski back. Maybe you get some of these other guys back." So, again, there's no way to know right now how this all turns out, but could be a silver lining there.
Exactly. Now, which quarterback just signed with South Alabama?
Oh, Jake Bentley. Apparently, I don't know if you know this, Shane.
Yeah, baby.
I don't know if you know this, but he skipped his senior year of high school back in 2004 or whatever.
He should be at prom right now. I'm sure he's kicking Tennessee's ass. I remember that game well, Mike.
But, so he's back home in Alabama. But, I don't know. I don't know if they play an SEC team or not, but that'd be great, especially if it was South Carolina, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no, that's good. I'm just glad he got a spot, you know, and I wish him nothing but the best. Have we heard any rumors on Helinski, or is that still pretty fresh?
I think it's fresh. I think it's, you know, I think this is one of those deals where people are kind of waiting to see if and when things open up to where these guys can visit campuses and things of that nature.
Right.
Because we're still all locked down and everything. Now, that doesn't stop. Players are allowed to go visit campuses all they want and, of course, make phone calls and texts and all that, but just a lot different getting to meet in person and see the facility and meet with the coaching staff. So he might be waiting for that. But again, Mike Bobo out, him and his family live in town. You better believe they're picking up the phone and calling the Helinski family. I would imagine that Shane Beamer is right now.
Oh, definitely, man.
All right, Shane, next team. Let's jump on down to Baton Rouge.
It's my honor to present the national championship trophy to Coach Ed Orgeron and the LSU Tigers.
Where, hey, we got ourselves an offensive coordinator and a passing game coordinator. And Coach O making some interesting moves here, Shay. They went back to the Joe Brady offense. They hired Carolina Panthers quarterback coach Jake Peets to be the new offensive coordinator. And DJ Mangus, he was also with the Carolina Panthers. I don't know what he was doing there, but he's going to be the passing game coordinator, which is the role that Joe Brady had when he was with the Tigers. So, and from what I understand, Shane, Coach O went to Joe Brady and said, hey, who should I hire if I want to go back to what you were doing? And Joe Brady said, I got the two guys right here. So they flew him in for an interview. They aced the, and I believe Mangus already previously worked at LSU as an analyst. So he's familiar with Coach O. He's familiar with everything that was going on down there. And, you know, these are two unknown names, but if they know Joe Brady's system and they're, and they can teach it to these players, I mean, potentially this is looking like A-plus hires, don't you think?
So what positions are they taking?
They're going to be offensive coordinator at LSU and passing game coordinator at LSU and quarterbacks coach.
Now, what's Joe Brady doing?
So he is currently
– still at Carolina?
Yeah, he's just there 1 year so far. He's the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
But it looks like he's going to be a head coach potentially. He's interviewing for all these jobs, so.
Oh, when the NFL gigs?
Right. So.
Golly, man. I mean, talk about rags to riches. I mean, he's in the fast lane, man. So that's good. He's already giving out assistance. That's next level stuff, man.
3 years ago.
What are you doing with your life, Mike?
Oh, man, I was just going to say, do you have any idea how old Joe Brady is?
Golly, jeez, I want to say 32.
I believe he's 30.
Oh man!
And 3 years ago, 3 years ago, he was an analyst for the Saints. I mean,
jeez.
Yeah, meteoric rise here, and I'm not saying these two guys can step into his shoes because everything we just said, I think that goes to show what a unique talent Joe Brady is. But
right.
If these guys worked with him, particularly Mangus, who's been with him, I think, a couple of years here, going back to LSU.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. If I'm an LSU fan, I'm pretty confident that that was the issue for me with Steve Ensminger, LSU legend. I'm not going to say anything bad about him, but the previous passing game coordinator they hired, Scott Linehan from, I believe he was with the Dallas Cowboys. That's what we're talking about when we talk about these retread guys that, you know, they're 50, 60 years old or whatever. And
right. They've
never like blown you away with what they're going to do. So why would it be all of a sudden they're going to flip a switch and be great for LSU? Whereas these two guys, young, up and coming, know the Joe Brady system. Hell, maybe one of these guys or both is the next Joe Brady. And here we go again, going back to prove themselves at an elite level with, we know LSU's got these receivers and hell, it looks like they got three quarterbacks and they got all these linemen returning. I mean, we've got the pieces in place already for LSU to potentially be very dangerous on offense next season.
Yeah, that's what drives me nuts. It's like everybody's – because even up here in Tennessee, they're saying, well, if Pruitt is gone, you know, Gus wouldn't be a bad hire. And I'm like, why? He just got fired. Why would you want somebody that just got fired? I'd rather take a chance with a young cat like a Joe Brady type, and it may work, it may not. Like this Shane Beamer, it may work, it may not, but it's not a retread. It's not somebody that's the kind of hires I like, Mike. So I'm with you, man. We gotta get out of the same old and mix things up. And it feels like that's what a lot of these universities are starting to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of that, we're not done with LSU because they interviewed on Thursday Cincinnati defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman, another young guy who's up there running probably the best defense at the G5 level. He's been up there with Luke Fickell a couple years, Ohio State graduate. And this is the guy we referenced it on a previous show. This is LSU's top target at the defensive coordinator spot. Now, apparently he has got interviews lined up with Notre Dame and I believe another big-time program. So this is a coveted guy, and There's no guarantee he's leaving Cincinnati either. So I'm not even suggesting that one of these teams is going to get him because, you know, I was watching the Peach Bowl there against Georgia. They were talking about how close he is to Luke Fickell and their families are tight. And hell, even when Freeman was having his house built, he moved in with the Fickell. So, I mean, these guys are pretty tight. But, you know, based on what I saw on that game, you know, Cincinnati's got a hell of a defense, the ball hawks.
And yeah.
I think they were tied for the lead of the most interceptions in the nation last season. So that's exactly what you want, I think, if you're LSU. Again, same thing we just said, just a different thing. You know, let's not go damn Bo Pelini, who we know it was not a great fit, and he's been coaching for 30-some-odd years. Let's bring us a young guy that's killing it at a smaller school and give him this promotion. And hell, LSU likes to say they're DBU.
Yeah.
This is how you do it. You bring in these guys that are, you know, coaching the hell out of the secondary. That's a potentially a huge move if LSU goes to Joe Brady offense and they land their number one target on the defensive coordinator spot. I think you couldn't do any better if you're Coach O.
Exactly. And this makes sense, Mike. This would be a great hire. You know, Bo Pelini was struggling where he was at. It was almost like Coach O was sending him out a life jacket or something, you know, just to save him from his own program. And, you know, this is a guy that took a Cincinnati team and made them really good. And, you know, I bashed Cincinnati coming into that Georgia game. But I'm tell you what, man, you're right. They were little ball hawks, and they were all over the place, and they played toe-to-toe with them. And if you could do that with the Cincinnati talent, imagine what you could do with the LSU talent that's decided to come back. So I think this is would be a fantastic hire, and I think this guy would be crazy to stick around with Cincinnati one more year when he could come down and do something really special with LSU.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, let's jump it on down next to old Rocky Top. You know, very similar to what we've been saying here, Shane, but, you know, it's got a lot more, I don't know if credibility is the right word, but hell, everybody knows who ESPN's Chris Lowe is.
Mm-hmm.
When he's out there, this is not a guy that, you know, is just throwing stuff out there. I think he keeps things pretty close to the vest unless he, you know, he can confirm it, and he's got multiple sources, and he's just been covering the SEC and in particular Tennessee for so long. He's one of the most respected media members, not only in Knoxville, but the entire SEC. But he was recently on 3HL, Nashville radio program here, and some pretty damning comments for Coach Jeremy Pruitt.
Chris Lowe with us from ESPN.com. Is Jeremy Pruitt going to make it? Tennessee has hired outside counsel now. That's if I'm Jeremy Pruitt, that's not something I look at favorably.
You know, Brett, they have not invited me in on any of their meetings with compliance and Mike Glazer. Mike Glazer's group is the one that's assisting mm-hmm. Tennessee, been retained. And if you Google Mike Glazer, he's got a long, long, successful history of representing schools. In fact, he and the late Mike Slive started the first sports law firm to help schools that had NCAA matters or compliance issues. So you don't spend the kind of cash to bring in somebody like that unless you got some things you feel like are pretty serious, you know, to help mitigate it, to get to the bottom of it. And this is not something they just brought him in 2 weeks ago. I think they've been talking to people since November. To answer your first question, is Jeremy Pruitt going to make it? Looking at it from where we are right now and talking to some people, I think it's going to be difficult. I really do. I mean, I don't think you ever say never, but it looks like the way this has all gone down, the way this thing has dragged out, that it will be difficult for him to be the head football coach. And I don't know if Tennessee is trying to get its ducks in order to fire him for cause, to get him to take a settlement. I think those are all possibilities. But I'll say this, no matter what happens, the way this thing has sort of lingered on, boy, it's really hurt the football program. And Tennessee was already sort of fighting an uphill battle anyway. But you're going to see, I think you've already seen some players at the transfer portal. I think you'll see more hit the transfer portal. And I think it's also, if he is indeed not the coach, it's probably going to be difficult to attract a coach to come in here with everything that's sort of hanging out there. Again, when you look at the last 10 years surrounding Tennessee football, are you really surprised at anything that happens? You know, look up dysfunction right now in the dictionary, and I promise you there's a picture of Rocky Top or Neyland Stadium or the color orange right there beside it.
All right, Shane. So, you know, like I said, this is kind of the same stuff we've been saying, but, you know, when Chris Lowe says it, it's like I said, I mean, it kind of hits home a little bit harder that Jeremy Pruitt status in Tennessee, not looking good, looking more likely that he's not going to be the coach that he is. And it's it's basically the same thing we've been saying, man. This is killing your program if you're just mm-hmm. hanging in the wind. And because, you know, the truth of the matter is that let's say that Jeremy Pruitt does return next season. And I know a lot of fans would be against that, just me saying that. But it's almost like he needs to have an outstanding year next year. You know what I mean? To even come back, because yeah. we're entering this spot like we did this time last year with Will Muschamp and Derek Mason and mm-hmm. and you know coaches of that, where you just, it's almost like the writing's already on the wall. And if you go 500 or even 7-5, hell, we just saw Tom Herman get fired. I think he was 7-5. But I mean, this is basically the territory Tennessee's in right now, and it's just not helping. You know what?
That's exactly right, Mike. And the longer this goes, the more I think that Coach Pruitt's not going to be back, because they obviously know, you know, Phil Fulmer and all them, they know exactly what's going on with this program. And there's a reason they haven't come out and made a statement, is because if they're getting their ducks in a row. And this feels like I've been saying it all week, like a Friday news dump. Don't be surprised when you're listening to this later today that you get the news that Coach Pruitt's not coming back to the University of Tennessee. It almost feels like that, Mike. Like they just want to get this in and get it out. It's perfect time with everything going on around the world. Not a lot of people are going to be talking about the University of Tennessee, aside of Dan Wolken, you know. But there's going to be some ripples. But that's what it feels like is going to happen, Mike. It feels like that they are going to move on. And if they're not, then shame on them for not coming out and making a statement earlier.
Right. And it's not all doom and gloom, though. And this is kind of the damn confusing part, because it certainly sounds like the coaches are working hard behind the scenes. And here's the best evidence of that, Shane. They just landed a transfer quarterback, a guy that started at Virginia Tech, Hendon Hooker. That's his real name. Let the Hugh Freeze jokes write themselves at this point. But hey, I've not seen this kid play. I'm not going to pretend that I have, but I am going to do some research and see what Tennessee's getting in him. But mm-hmm. here we got a guy that, has completed 65% of his passes last year. He's got a pretty solid touchdown interception ratio. His rating is over 153 each of the two seasons he's played the last 2 years. He's got over 1,000 rushing yards and 15 touchdowns just on the ground. And mm-hmm. I'm seeing here 22 passing touchdowns, 7 interceptions. So, you know, I'm not saying this is going to be the next Tua Tagovailoa or something, but this looks like a really quality option here. And for a team that's desperate for depth at the quarterback position, I think this is a really good player to compete with Harrison Bailey next season. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, definitely, man. I like the depth. He better change that football number, though, because he's going to give everybody a heart attack if they see number 2 trapped out on the field next year.
Oh, my God. Is he number 2?
Yeah, he's number 2, man. Oh, I was like, you can't do that, because if you ain't got your binoculars there kneeling, there may be some chest pains going on. I thought he transferred.
But Tennessee fans sure do. They do love... And I'm not even going to say this word, because it's a bad word, but a mobile quarterback. I mean, hell, the last one I guess you could say is Josh Dobbs. And of course, he was the last outstanding Tennessee quarterback. But you got to be in favor of a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you know, because I'm still in the Harrison Bailey. I'm committed. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Right. I'm committed to that as my quarterback. But you know, it doesn't hurt to bring in a mobile quarterback every now and then. And you've seen them do this. You've seen them in the NFL. You've seen it in college football. It doesn't hurt to have that aspect to your game. And then what's really nice, or not nice, because you never want your quarterback to get hurt, but if your quarterback does go down, you're talking about a totally different system right behind him. So mm-hmm. there's something to be said about the just being dynamic these days.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, next let's jump it all down to Columbia, Missouri.
M-I-Z-G-O-U!
Good news for the Tigers, Shane. Some momentum. They picked up a transfer from Ohio State receiver, Mookie Cooper. This guy's from St. Louis, so he's a local guy. He's got 4 years left to play. He never really played at Ohio State. This was his first year down there. He was a former top 100 prospect, and I believe he was an Under Armour All-American. He's kind of a smaller slot guy, kind of like a human joystick, kind of like a Kadarius Toney. You know, I don't want to give him that much hype because I've not really seen him play, but that style, based on just the clips I've seen of him. So there you go. You picking you up a solid prospect, I think, for Eli Drinkwitz's offense. But the big news here in Missouri, they lost their defensive coordinator, Ryan Walters. He was the guy that stayed on after Barry Odom left. He was the defensive coordinator the last couple of years. He's been at Missouri for six seasons overall. He's jumping ship to Illinois, which is a strange move. But from what I understand, Illinois is offering three-year contracts to their assistant coaches. So that was probably part of it. Old Brett Bielema, Shane. We all remember that name. He's the new Illinois coach. But, you know,
the head coach.
Yeah, he. Yeah. So this was one of his first big hires here, stealing from an SEC opponent. And, you know, I've seen some big stuff on Ryan Walters, some Missouri fans kind of out on him. But I thought he was a really good coach. And, you know, Missouri, they did get scored on a lot, particularly at the tail end of last season. But they were banged up. There was opt-outs. There were scholarship reductions. And, you know, Missouri was a team that had no expectations. And I'm surprised so many people talking trash about them, because last time I checked, it was the defense that made the game-winning stop against LSU. They held Kentucky to 10 points. They shut out Vanderbilt. They held South Carolina to 10. So it's not like this guy was a trash coordinator or anything, but at the same time, I don't think this is really going to slow Missouri down, because as we've seen, man, college football is an offensive game now. So as long as you got that side of the ball going in the right direction, you're doing good. But this is going to be the first big hire, I think, of the Drinkwitz era. He's got to hire him a defensive coordinator now.
Yeah, it's a oh, Mike. I'm thinking, you know, like he's Bielema's get back guy there at the buffet. You know, just hey, it's enough. You've been up there enough. No, I mean, it's good. You got to take your opportunities, and there's a reason that he's going up there. We don't know what it is, but who knows? It may have been, you know, him and Eli had that conversation, because, you know, Eli kind of pieced together his staff, and you know, I guarantee you 100% that his guys aren't in place yet.
Right.
And the more victories that Mizzou gets, the better talent they got coming in. Don't be surprised if the writing wasn't already on the wall for some of these guys, is that they're just kind of a stopgap until the next guy that, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying anything bad about Coach Walters here. It's just, I don't know. When you have a lateral move, not even a lateral move, I would say it's a downgrade to go to Illinois. That's my first thought is he knows that he wasn't the forever guy anyway.
Yeah. And last thing on that move, defensive back freshman, Enos Rakestraw. This is a guy that they beat Alabama to get. So he's a coveted player there on Missouri's roster. Right after this news broke, he tweeted this out, Shane. Crazy stuff, cutthroat. He recruited me to leave. So that's a violation if it's true. So there, Illinois, Brett Bielema, they may be getting a call here. But I don't know if you can prove that happened. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
that's not the kind of character coach you want. I mean, maybe I'm being naive to think that doesn't go on elsewhere, but you can't have that. You know what I mean? A guy's got to take a job. I get right. it, but you can't be recruiting the active players to go with you, you know?
No, you can't. Don't be that guy. So, that makes my point even, you know, it's like he's that butthurt, you know, that he's grabbing anuses on the way out, you know?
All right, let's jump on down to Gainesville, because we got some coaching news down here where defensive back coach Wesley McGriff, he was served on Auburn's staff last year. Really good defensive backs coach. He previously served as the defensive coordinator at Ole Miss during the Matt Luke era. Terrible coordinator, if I'm being honest. But that's not what he's getting hired here for Florida. So that, thank God, he's getting hired as a defensive backs coach. He's done a good job doing that at Auburn. And I think previously at Ole Miss, that's what he was doing there too. And he's a really good recruiter. So that's some positive news for the Gators. But again, that backs up what I was saying earlier. Treveris Robinson sounds like he's headed to Auburn. The rumor was he was going to Florida. So, mm-hmm. You know, this leads me to believe that, again, Treveris Robinson's not coming to Gainesville. Wesley McGriff is going to be the guy there to coach the defensive backs. But so, again, that's a quality hire, but not the guy that Florida fans were thinking they were getting. But it may not be the last one here, Shane, because according to John Bryce of Football Scoop, Charlie Strong, you know, we all know that name. He is maybe about to take the safeties job there at Florida. So if you're talking Wesley McGriff and Charlie Strong coaching your secondary, that's potentially a hell of a combo right there.
Yeah, that is potential. Hey, side note with the Gators, didn't they just land a huge transfer down there?
Yes, sir. I'm glad you asked. They landed Penn State defensive tackle Antonio Shelton.
Yeah.
And this is a player, man. He's not some bench guy that just never could play. He's already graduated from what I understand, so he'll be eligible immediately. And I think he's only got 1 year left to play, but started multiple seasons up there at Penn State. And that's kind of what Florida needs right now. They need help on the defensive interior. They got a couple guys going to the NFL. So all of a sudden, Florida's defense here, potentially we're getting some great news this week here in Gainesville.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I thought I saw a lot of fired up Gator fans. I was like, what the hell's going on down there? You know, so they landed him a good one. So now if they get the coaching staff lined up, that'd be pretty sweet too. If you're a Gator fan. But let me ask you, Mike, one other side note.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that there's been a pattern in the NFL, because we're not rolling Dan taking an NFL position or a head coaching position. But when they do an interview with another NFL coach, it seems like they must be doing some sort of alert where they notify and just everybody knows that so-and-so's interviewing for this job, right? Because
mm-hmm.
I keep getting these alerts and stuff. Is that the same if you're interviewing a college coach? Is there still those alerts, or could there potentially be an interview with Dan Mullen that we're not aware of because they don't have to, because it's a different organization?
Yeah, see, I'm glad you asked that, because I have noticed that as well. And it's just a little bit different. I mean, you don't even see it with Urban Meyer necessarily, you know?
I mean,
we've all seen the rumors that he's targeted by Jacksonville. I think I've even seen it where he's targeted by the Los Angeles Chargers. But it is different college and NFL, and I'll tell you why, Shane. A big reason, you know, sometimes that stuff does leak out, but I think it's generally right before a coach is either going to accept a job or is offered a head coaching job, because there's not many college coaches that, if they're offered a head coaching job, are going to turn it down. And
right. The
main difference there is recruiting. So in the NFL, you know, we were just talking about Joe Brady. He's one where,
right,
I think that's a good example of what you're talking about. If you search Joe Brady's name, you're going to get 10 NFL reporters saying he interviewed at Atlanta. He interviewed with the Chargers. And another good one is Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. He's apparently interviewing for all these jobs too. But you're not seeing that with Dan Mullen.
Right.
And that's the key difference there, because he is under contract with a school, and they've got recruiting they got to do. And there's like a deeper level to it. And I don't think you're going to hear anything about Dan Mullen interviewing unless – you know, he's about to accept a job necessarily, if that makes sense.
Okay, so he could still be in this, because another one is the old Cowboys coach. That's another one that I keep seeing floating around, you know, interviewing these different spots. So if that's the case, Dan literally could have interviewed for four or five of these positions, and we just not know it because he hasn't accepted or they haven't offered it, right?
Right. And another good example of that is Jim Harbaugh, who's apparently trying to get an NFL job, but you're not seeing the reports of, you know, who he's interviewing with and things of that nature.
Right.
I think Pat Fitzgerald, Northwestern coach, is another one. So it's pretty rare that you see a college coach mentioned as interviewing for these NFL positions.
Okay.
Good, all right, man. Good question, good Shane. Know. That's why you're here.
Yeah.
Well, sticking to the SEC East, Shane, real quick, wanted to make this note. Let's hop on down to Athens. Because the Bulldogs, Shane, they got some great news here for next year's program, because Jordan Davis, the defensive lineman, he made a surprising decision. He could have went to the NFL, probably would have been a first-round pick. But he's coming back for another season to improve his stock. And with a big year, you know, we're talking maybe the first lineman taken. So he stands to gain quite a bit next season if he has a big year in Athens. And then the biggest one, of course, JT Daniels. We talked about him hinting at a return. He's officially come out and said he is returning. You know, not a huge surprise, but Georgia really needed to get that answer before long. And then here's an underrated one. Don't let this go under your radar, but James Cook, the running back, he is also coming back. And he's not a guy that, you know, piled up a ton of production yet. He's been kind of banged up. And then there was the tragedy with his father. That's why he didn't play in the bowl game. So James Cook is a guy that fits what Todd Bunkin's system, you know, running back that can catch the ball and line up at receiver and just do a little bit of everything. He's the perfect player to go in this system. And if they utilize him more next season, if he's not, if he remains injury-free, I think he could have a huge year for Georgia next year. And then the only bad one here, well, I shouldn't say bad, but just in terms of next season, Tyson Campbell, the starting corner, he has announced that he's going pro. So they did have one loss there, but overall, good news here for the Bulldogs when it comes to 2021. And I'm still on I'm still leading the hype train for the Bulldogs after this news. All right, last one, Shane. Let's hop on down to College Station.
Giga Maggots.
Where we don't have coaching news, but, you know, the big news here, not completely unexpected, but I was holding out hope, Shane, that maybe we'd get a miracle here and Kellen Mond would return for another season and just, he's already got all the records down there at Texas A&M, but I was hoping that maybe he'd come back for one more year. But he's going pro, so hopefully he has an outstanding NFL career. I'm not suggesting he won't. I just get a little greedy here. I'd like to see Texas A&M make a crazy run. But, you know, let's salute him. He's got more passing yards than anyone in Texas A&M history, more passing touchdowns. He's accounted for more total offense than anyone. He's the only Aggie with 70 passing touchdowns and 20 rushing touchdowns. This guy did it all. And then the Aggies, the Maroon Goons, man, they're, I don't want to say hit hard because these guys are seniors. They deserve to go make their money in the NFL. But Dan Moore, the left tackle, Ryan McCollum, the center, and Jake Locker, they've all announced they are turning pro. So good for those guys. But again, I was getting a little greedy and I was hoping they all came back and just, you know, preseason top five team. Not to say the Aggies got so much momentum. They're still going to be preseason top 10, I would think, next season. But just wanted to make that note where we got some Aggies moving on to the NFL. Still fully aboard the hype train there. But those are ones we were waiting for. We didn't have a final calls till this week.
Absolutely. No, and if my front line's leaving, I'm probably going to the pros myself.
Exactly.
We joked last year how many times Kellen Mond didn't get hit. So no brainer here. I think he's content, and I wish him all the best, man. I'm really looking forward to see where these guys are going to be playing on Sundays.
All right, Shane. Hey, that's all I've got. And before anyone asks, yeah, we are going to talk about this national championship game. But just so much going on here. We're going to have a nice preview edition here on Monday morning, breaking down the game. And all indications, Shane, it sounds like Jalen Waddle is going to play in this game.
Ooh.
That's what we've been hoping to see. Now, it's not official. They're trying to keep it in the dark. You know, this could be a situation where, you know, maybe he does see the field, but they don't really utilize him because they want to just have Ohio State have to prep for something extra. But I sure hope we see him play in the game, and I sure sure as hell hope we see him score a touchdown to go out on the right note. Not that he owes us anything, but he's had an outstanding career, and I'd like to see him one more time.
Absolutely. I just, like you said, just having to prepare for it, I think that's just an extra sesh, you know, a day for Ohio State. So I really like that. I did jump on. I was curious about the point spread on this thing. Is it still at, it's still at 7.5. It did jump up to 8.5 there for a minute. Something to keep in mind, you know, Ohio State was trying to fight this because of COVID numbers. So don't be surprised if they're missing a few players. So just an interesting bet to keep your eyes on, because if more news comes out this weekend where those players can't go, I would expect the spread to change a little bit. So you gamblers, just keep an eye on that.
Yeah, if Saban's daughter's right, they're trying to get out of it, you know. So
yeah, hell yeah, they are, man. And I saw the best one was the picture of broken ribs, and it says Ohio State's COVID test came back positive. You know, they're just the old Fields, man. He's just trying to lip out of this thing. So that was a good one. Another fun tweet I saw you put out, actually, was Johnny Manziel. Did you see that tweet?
Oh, yeah.
Thought that was great, talking about Texas already claiming the SEC championship.
And those damn Longhorns cannot help themselves, can they?
They can't. They can't help it. They're all too soon, too soon. So, but anyway, man, that's all I got. I'm really looking forward to Monday. This the last college football game, Mike. I mean, it's sad, but the other day there was nothing going on. There was no NFL. There was no college jump. There's just nothing, and it was like basketball, like NBA. So I'm starting to have to watch NBA, and you know, just to gamble on something, you know.
Well, the good news, Shane, we're less than 250 days away from the start of the 2021 season.
Knock on wood, man. I hope so. I hope everything's a go, and I'm you know, just sponge it up, guys, this weekend. If you know, got the NFL's got the wild card weekends, and then, you know, like I said, Monday we'll have the whole day event, and we'll get on. We'll have a podcast for you Monday morning to preview the national championship.
Yes, sir. All right, Shane. Well, thanks for hopping on the line. As always, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And if you made it this far, don't forget, leave us that 5-star written review on the Apple Podcast app. We'll send you a beer koozie of your choice, free of charge. That's just our way of saying thanks. But that's going to do it. And, hey, we'll catch you on the next one.
All right, man. See you guys. Go Balls.